Politics and scandal go together like summer and hay fever, and the pollen of politics has often been sex. But these days, sex has taken a backseat to a four-letter word, golf. NPR's Mike Pesca has more.
If you want to get to the heart of how politics really work, the thinking once went, follow the money. But maybe you'd be better off following the tee shot. In Ohio, the governor is facing an investigation over whether he failed to report golf outings on disclosure statements. In Massachusetts, a dozen or so Democratic legislators played hooky from balancing the budget in favor of a few rounds. This prompted a rival to charge, quote, "The only way we're going to get a state budget is if we turn the statehouse lawn into a putting green." And in Washington, there's House Majority Leader Tom DeLay, who has golfed all over the world in trips financed by trade and interest groups. Sports Illustrated writer Alan Shipnuck says that when golf grabs hold of a man, there's little he could do to resist.
People always ask me, you know, should I take up golf since I'm 45 years old? And I always recommend heroin instead because it's cheaper and less addictive.
In 1997, when the U.S. Open was held at Congressional Country Club outside of Washington, Shipnuck interviewed several golf-mad politicians. Among the maddest, Tom DeLay.
I was in his office, and he was rifling through this drawer in his desk of sort of golf oddities. He had golf balls with Clinton's face on it. I got the feeling that he would have sat there and talked to me for days about golf, and his aides were buzzing, and he was waving them off, and the phone was ringing, and he was ignoring it. I mean, when I was reporting that story, guys were gloating about all the junkets they were taking. It was sort of a different era, and it's not like this is a new thing. Golf and politics have been intertwined forever.
As the writer Paul Gallico once observed, if there is any larceny in a man, golf will bring it out. So it's easy to see why lobbyists would want to arrange golf outings for politicians. The longest lunch takes a little more than 2 hours. A round of golf takes four, with drinks afterwards. Men open up, talk small talk, let their guard down. Golf-crazed politicians go along because, well, they're golf-crazed, but also, suggests New York Times reporter Don Van Atta, because a politician's golf game tends to mysteriously improve on these junkets. In researching a book about presidential golf called First Off the Tee, Van Atta played around with President Clinton. There he saw firsthand how a politician might enjoy sycophantic playing partners.
We were out there with two very wealthy Democratic contributors, who both of whom are venture capitalists. These guys are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And they were the ones that were giving him all the gimme shots, the do-overs. You know, Clinton convinces himself he's playing by the rules. He'll have three shots on the fairway, and he'll get out there and he'll say, which one's my first ball? You know, because that's the one he's supposed to play, and the other two are just practice. And inevitably, these venture capitalists would say, Mr. President, it's this one over here. And almost always it was the one closest to the flag, and it was his second or third shot.
President Clinton's scorecard read 82 after that round, but Van Atta estimates it took him 200 strokes to get to that 82. Similar bookkeeping discrepancies dog DeLay. The Washington Post reported that lobbyist Jack Abramoff reimbursed the Texas congressman for $12,000 worth of expenses incurred in a golf outing to Scotland's Royal St. Andrews course. It's against the rules for lobbyists to directly pay for junkets, but DeLay says he never knew who was paying or what the expenses incurred were. They were substantial, suggests Alan Shipnuck.
To be able to play the course, you have to stay at the Old Course Hotel, which is off the 17th hole. And those rooms with the exchange rate go for about $500 a night. Greens fees are another, say, $300. So every day you're there just to play golf, you're looking at usually $1,000 with your caddy and some meals. And then you have to get, you know, a transatlantic flight. And, I mean, it's a big ticket.
If lobbyists didn't set up rounds between their clients and elected officials, it would be cost prohibitive for some politicians. And DeLay is not among the wealthier congressmen. The latest filings say he may hold as little as $65,000 in assets other than his home and salary. As a public servant, perhaps DeLay never expected money, but really, what's the point of being the man they call the hammer if you never even get to break out your driver? Mike Pesca, NPR News, New York.
We'll be right back.